What's up, Leafs Nation? Mike and Dave here from Locked On Leafs. The Stanley Cup Final is finally upon us. Dave, game one tonight between the Avalanche and the Lightning kicking off in Colorado. We'll help tee up that game tonight. And we also saw the first coaching domino fall today. We'll discuss that. And also Nick Alberga will join us in just a little bit to discuss his report yesterday about John Gibson being open to a trade. Not quite demanding a trade, but he is open should both parties decide to move on. All that more on today's edition of Locked On Leafs.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother from TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also now catch us up on video format on YouTube. Check us out, Locked On Leafs on YouTube. And we are doing our Austin Matthews jersey giveaway. Today is part three of the five-part clue of the Name That Leaf. We're not giving you the clue just yet. You're going to have to keep listening to the show. We'll let you know the third clue later on. If you missed yesterday's clue and Monday's, you're going to have to go back and listen to the pod because you're going to need all five if you want to guess the leaf. Get all five of those clues. Gives you the best chance to answer it on Friday, and that'll get you a chance to win yourself an Austin Matthews jersey. The only thing you need to be, you have to do is make sure you are subscribed to the show. So if you're an audio listener, go ahead, sub up on YouTube. You can still listen to it via audio, but just make sure that you are subscribed so that you can be eligible for the event or for the competition, whatever you want to call it. Giveaway. That's the word I'm looking for there. Dave, finally here, man. Cup final. It's been a fun last couple of months here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know the Maple Leafs got eliminated a little bit earlier than we were hoping for, obviously. In a perfect world, Toronto would be gearing up for a game tonight. But here we are. It's the team that bested the Toronto Maple Leafs in seven games that will make their way to the Stanley Cup final for the third time in 4 years that the team that eliminated Toronto will make the Stanley Cup playoffs. The last two were finalists and did not win the Stanley Cup, I'll add. So there's a little bit of a curse, potentially, to beating the Toronto Maple Leafs. You get a little stink on you with Toronto. I don't know. But, yeah, they'll be taking on the Avalanche and Lightning tonight. You intrigued? What's your favorite storyline going into this game?
Oh, there's quite a few that I'm intrigued about. Mine is just, you know, can the Colorado Avalanche keep the Lightning from reaching history, right? Getting that three-peat. I hear so much about it. And, you know, will the Lightning finally meet their match, right? You know, the Colorado Avalanche have played very different types of teams. They played teams that they were superiorly better than, a team that grinds you out like the Blues, and then a high-scoring team like the Oilers. So, like, the Avalanche have faced a good amount of competition, but I don't think they have faced a team as balanced and as experienced as the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm very curious to see how Colorado deals with the challenge, and, you know, can a team finally knock off the Lightning? That's really it. Right now, the Lightning just look like the most unbeatable team in the NHL, and that makes me wonder if fate is just on their side right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a dynasty. I think you can already call it that, whether they lose this game. I mean, what they've been able to do these last 4 years, because even the year that they didn't make it, they're the number one team in the league and tied the Red Wings for most points in a regular season, but happened to get eliminated in four game sweep in the first round. But they were still outstanding that year in the regular season and have just gone on, and they've won every single playoff series since losing out to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they want to at least win one more to get that stamp on that three-peat. One of the storylines that I think is intriguing about this game, we'll get into our picks and our our predictions a little later on in the show. We'll give our official picks and predictions at the end. But one of the storylines that I'm really looking forward to is the fact that I really truly believe that this is going to be kind of pivotal in how teams build going forward. And what I mean by that is you look at the Colorado Avalanche, if they end up winning the series, it kind of is a poster child for, hey, you can win with offense. The modern game is won with offense. You can outscore your goaltending woes. But if Tampa wins, then the narrative shifts a little bit. And you sit there and say, you still need that number one goalie who can steal you games at the most critical times in the season. You still got to have that number one goalie. And we'll see teams definitely try and get themselves goaltending or get themselves shore up the defense. And it's the old adage, what wins you championships, defense or offense? And this is one of those scenarios where that's kind of what this matchup is, right? Is it the offensive juggernauts who are averaging 4.5 goals a game in the Colorado Avalanche in these playoffs? Or is it the team that isn't allowing a whole heck of a lot of anything in Vasilevsky and the group of guys in front of him with the Tampa Bay Lightning? It's going to be a fun matchup. You get the best in the West, the beast in the East. I don't know if I've seen or I've been more like I've anticipated a Stanley Cup final as much as I am this year than I have in recent history, maybe not even the Cap era.
I think what comes kind of close for me is like the Penguins and the Sharks a few years ago. Because you had all those guys on the Sharks that were just pushing for so many years to get to that Cup final. They had so much heartbreak. And then they finally get there, and then they're facing off against the Penguins, who were just – the Penguins were the closest thing, I think, to the Lightning in terms of they had the right mix of everything, right? They had the star players at the top. They had
the workhorse. Wasn't this year where they had, like Justin Schultz was their best defenseman, though, Dave?
No, it would be Chris Letang, wouldn't it?
But he was injured.
Yeah, Justin Schultz was up there, but it was like Matt Murray was a elite goaltender.
Yeah, right? In hindsight, I look back on that roster and I'm like, I can't. No, man,
you had the HBK line, the best line in hockey. You remember? Yeah,
Kessler. So are you going HBK or are you going Point, Ross Colton, and Nick Paul? Who are you taking as a third line?
I mean, I'm going with Braden Point all the time because he's just that good. The problem is Braden
could be Sorelli. Could also end up being Sorelli.
Yeah, Sorelli is really good too. Right. I just look at that. Like you look at what the Penguins. Every team was trying to copy the Penguins, right? After those consecutive Cup wins.
Yeah.
And then now everyone's trying to copy the Lightning. So like that's where the intrigue and all that is for me. And then, yeah, if I'm looking at other matchups, though, there's not really one that strikes me. Like, some people might have said Vegas and then the Capitals just because. But I'm like, people were annoyed that Vegas was there.
I just don't think we've seen two teams, like, the top. When was the last time we've seen the top two teams in the NHL face off against each other? Like, we haven't seen this much star power in one Stanley Cup final in the Cap era, I don't think. Like, I really don't think we've seen this maybe since, like, the back-to-back Cup finals where we saw Pittsburgh and Detroit. Potentially, you could look at that in the late 2000s. There wasn't a lot of star power there. But outside of that, this might be the most highly anticipated Cup final we've seen since. In my opinion, that's just my opinion. Obviously, if you felt that you were jacked up about the Sharks and the Penguins, I mean, I can't.
One just had a lot of intrigue because I just always remember the Sharks where everyone was like, oh, here come the Sharks, like they're finally gonna get there.
Yeah.
And the Penguins were and even the same with Nashville too. Like that was a team for so many years. Like I wasn't really enthused with the Nashville Penguins final, not like to the slightest bit. I think it was more so like the Sharks just because of that. Like Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, could they finally get there? But yeah, I know. Like, I'm just trying to think back to like past, like to the champions, right? So you're thinking, I'm just looking at this list.
Like, the years LA won the Cup, snoozers. It was against the Rangers and it was against the Devils. They were, not good Cup finals. Maybe Boston, Chicago was.
Yeah, I was going to say Boston, Chicago. Like, those were two top teams there.
Vancouver, Boston had some pretty good intrigue. Like Vancouver was a juggernaut that year and ended up losing in seven games to Boston. There was clearly like some Canadian, you know, love and bias involved with that one. But ultimately, I'm jacked up, man. I think this is going to be a fantastic series. I can't wait for game one tonight. We'll give our picks in just a moment, a little bit later on. But before we get to our good pal, Nick Alberga, who's going to stop by and join us, we thank him so much for taking the time to join. He let go an absolute Alberga bomb last night on Twitter, saying, hearing that sources say that John Gibson is open to a trade, not requesting, but open to one. So he was nice enough to clarify that and give us his thoughts and divulge a little bit more into that report, more than the, 140 characters that they allow you on Twitter at the very least. So we'll get to Alberga. We'll get to our picks. And also, the first coaching domino has fallen. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. But before we get into any of those topics, David, tell the good friends about Rock Auto.
Yep. Folks, why, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, now possible for your local auto parts store chain to stock all the parts that you need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions of debating which model of vehicle you have and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer at home with access to rockauto.com and even in your pocket on your smartphone. So guess what? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Don't choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same part from your chain store or car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have reliably low prices for every customer, and they have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. So make sure you go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so they know we sent you there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. I've got Dave Morisuti with me. We are your hosts here at Locked On Leafs. And as promised, we are joined now by a special guest on today's show, Nick Alberga at the Golden Muzzy, as he's known on the Twitterverse, a freelance NHL broadcaster, and the man who dropped the Alberga bomb yesterday that we were talking about in the John Gibson episode. And we're going to continue to discuss this with the man who had the intel himself. Nick, what's going on, pal? First and foremost, how you been?
I'm fantastic, boys. It's like the start of a joke, like three Italians walk into a podcast. What's going on with you boys?
Not bad. It would be so much better if it was like John Gibsonino or something like that, where we're going to talk about like some other paisan, but
I know
it's a good American boy, apparently. When you drop news like that, did your phone blow up yesterday?
Yeah, a bit, but like I think it's important to stress off the top, and we talked about this, Mike, and just chatting before it came on here, just how it gets sort of lost in translation, the report. Like it somehow went from he's open to being traded by Anaheim to he's requested a trade, which is not at all factual. I think honestly something has been brewing in that market for Gibson for quite some time, and I'm not saying it's going to come to a head here in the offseason, but I think there is certain clarity from both sides that they'll investigate this situation further. And knowing what we know about the goalie market too, guys, like there's a possibility he gets traded. I know, you know, the agent refuted the report, the player refuted the report, but I wanted to be clear in saying I didn't say he requested a trade. And all the headlines coming out today said he requested a trade, which is not true.
Right, right. So he's just open to it should Anaheim want to explore that idea. Mm-hmm. He'd be open because he does have a 10-team no trade list, and we don't know who's on that list. I don't know if you have any more intel on who the teams are, whether or not Toronto's on it. I don't know that, but you know, when it comes to John Gibson, he's a player that has had kind of a tale of two halves type of career. The first three seasons as a starter in Anaheim, unbelievable, Vezina candidate, top five goalie in the league. The last 3 years, we've seen the play drop off quite a bit. Like the numbers are well below expected, and it's not a trend that you like to see. Where do you think his value would be on the open market if a trade did kind of come to fruition? What would a framework of a deal potentially be for John Gibson?
Well, firstly, I mean, it's always fascinating reading sort of the replies to tweets like these, and people seem to know everything about the Anaheim Ducks, everything about potential trade partners. I think with Anaheim, it's important to bring up, like, you know, people are going to look at the numbers and say, well, you know, he's been okay. You know, he's had his moments. I think it's important to stress the deficiencies, especially in the second half of this past season, last year as well for the Anaheim Ducks. They're work in progress. Like, there's certainly some fleas on that roster. You know, they're not a Stanley Cup contender for a reason. And I think it's easy to pin that on the goaltending. But the biggest thing for this Ducks team the last couple of years, not as much this year, I would say, was offense and run support. And when you're relying on your goaltender to make save after save after save, there's a reason why Gibson has had fatigue issues the last couple of years. Now, to answer your question, I mean, it's not really well known in terms of what a framework would look in a potential deal, but certainly I think we're looking at the trajectory of the Anaheim Ducks. They're building a younger core, younger nucleus. Ryan Getzlaf's gone. It's Trevor Zegras' team right now. Guys like Max Comtois, you know, would probably factor into that situation as well. Drysdale on the back end,
like Mason Gary, McTavish, big year.
Yeah, exactly. Like Mason McTavish is coming next year as well, starring in the CHL playoffs right now. So I think they're on the upswing, but certainly, you know, the player is 28 years of age. He still has 5 years remaining on his contract at 6.4. So all that has to factor in into a potential package. And I honestly think this is a tough deal to make, and honestly why I think we want to keep the image peachy clean in this situation, because it's not a foregone conclusion this happens, but there's the potential, right?
Yeah, I think Dave and I both kind of talked about the merit of why Anaheim would want to make the deal, and then from a lease perspective, why or why not they would want to make that trade. And mm-hmm. It is basically just – that's a big commitment for somebody who wants to make that deal. And if that's the case, is that going to hurt his value? And if you're not going to get fair value for someone who Anaheim would deem as a top player, maybe they hold on to him because he is still a young guy. And who knows, they may be ready to compete again in 2-3 years and be a playoff team. And he'll still be 30, 31 years old, 32 years old, and he'll be a good player for that core. I mean, I can't remember who I saw tweet this out, but they say, you know, teams – when they trade away a John Gibson, they spend years looking for the next John Gibson.
Yep.
So why trade him away if you've got him under team control for 5 years?
Yeah, like the only thing I would add is that they have a youngster in Lucas Dostal who made some appearances down the stretch. And of course, you remember him from his World Juniors and obviously what he did at the World Championship. You know, I think that's obviously a goaltender they're rather high on. Anthony Stolarz had a fantastic year as well. And again, with the cap consideration and things going up over the next couple of years, you got to start to pay some players. So everything's got to equal out. But I think you're so right. Like, you're not making a deal of this significance, especially knowing that like every team seems to need a goalie, especially contenders or potential contenders like Edmonton and Toronto. And I think New Jersey wants to get to that next level. I'm sure Ottawa would sniff around. I'm sure Buffalo would sniff around. Like, there's a multitude of teams who would be involved in this conversation. And to your point, I don't think you're making this transaction unless, like, not that you have to win this trade, but it's got to be a pretty damn good return, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're chatting with Nick Alberga, the Golden Muzzy on Twitter, who I guess had the bomb of John Gibson being open to a trade. He didn't demand one. Let's make that perfect.
There you go.
John Gibson has not demanded a trade, but if Anaheim went to him, he would be open for the right team. He does have a no trade clause. Dave, you had a question?
Well, and Mikey kind of brought it up, the right team, right? Mm-hmm. We've obviously, our Leafs podcast, we talked about the Leafs and, you know, potential fit there. But who would be, if the Leafs, let's say, were to be interested in Gibson, who would you see as their biggest competition for a trade?
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of teams. Like, to not to debunk the Leafs correlation, because as you guys know, like, the Leafs are going to be associated with every goalie again this offseason. But mm-hmm. you got to be like, you just have to look at it. Does it make sense? A guy who's got 5 years and $6.4 million left on his contract, especially knowing that it's very unlikely that they're going to deal the big four. Like, I think until a scenario like that goes down, I just don't know how you can make the financials work of a trade like that. I know people are starting to throw Mrazek's name at me in a potential return. The Anaheim Ducks do not want Peter Mrazek. Again, they got Dostal. They got Stolarz. That would likely be their tandem if they do go ahead and trade John Gibson. To answer your question, Dave, like, obviously, I'm sure the Leafs would would ask. You know, I just don't know if it's going to make sense.
There's a phone call that's going to be made.
It would be like the old Dubas gif, right? Like you'd have like 17 phones because he's trying to find somebody because you don't want either guy back at this point. To answer your question, like I think New Jersey is a team that could be involved in that conversation. And to that point, they potentially have a guy who could return in a deal if they don't think Dostal is ready just yet for full-time NHL action. And that's Mackenzie Blackwood, as we found out a couple months back. He potentially is looking for a change, and so are the New Jersey Devils. A bit similar, I would say, to this situation. Again, more established goaltender, John Gibson. So they'd be involved there. You would have to think Ottawa. I don't know what's going to happen with Matt Murray over the next couple months. Perhaps he emerges as a buyout candidate. Edmonton. Like, I'm sure a lot of teams would have interest. The only problem you run into is teams that have interest are teams that think they have a legit shot at winning the Stanley Cup. And they have slim to none in terms of cap space, right? You talk about Toronto, you talk about Edmonton. But I think a goaltender of this, you know, ilk, we'll say, becomes available or semi-available in this conversation, I think you have to take a look. You have to take a flyer and see what could work here.
So all if right. the Leafs don't get Gibson, though, who would you see as the more ideal second, maybe other option that the Leafs should be considering?
Well, that's a good question, right? Because I think you look going forward, like it seems like there hasn't been much conversation with the Jack Campbell camp. And, you know, I, for one, don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Mrazek's gone. Like he still has 2 years remaining on his deal. I don't know how you're trading him coming off a season like that, considering we know his history. Like we knew this before he joined the Leafs that he always gets hurt. And now he joins the Leafs and he's always hurt. So I don't know. You're selling him. I'm not sure it's going to make sense financially to buy him out this summer. So they might actually be stuck with him, if you can believe that. Having said that, there are a couple options. Ville Husso. But again, you look at how he broke down the stretch. Like, I think at this point, you have to be looking for that bona fide guy. And if you don't think it's Jack Campbell, then you have to find somebody who you think is better than Jack Campbell. I keep landing on Semyon Varlamov. But then you look at Lou Lamoriello, like, why is he going to want to help the Leafs out at all? Like, if they're going to make a deal like that, he's going to try to fleece them, Kyle Dubas, who ultimately took his job, right? So I think you're looking there. I think outside the box, maybe like a Pavel Francouz, but I don't know if Colorado's ready to deal a goalie, considering what we've seen so far here in the postseason from Darcy Kemper. There's a lot of what ifs. And again, it's like musical chairs because there's a lot of teams that need an upgrade in goaltending. So once again, with the, you know, the way the team is laid out right now, I think it's going to be you know, an uphill battle to get somebody who's probably better than Jack Campbell. And I think ultimately, I still think there's a good chance Campbell comes back next year, guys.
Really? So you think that, like, what's your percentage that Jack Campbell's the starter in that game one? And what's the price point you think you're comfortable the least paying him? I don't think it's going to be the $4 million that most Leaf fans want to get him at. It sounds like he wants something that starts with a five. And if that's the case, you're comfortable at that number?
I don't know. Like, I think it ultimately, it goes to like how the market lays out, right? Like, let's say John Gibson becomes truly available, which I do think he is, as we've established here. Let's say he becomes available. Mackenzie Blackwood, you know, Matt Murray, potentially deal or a dealt or bought out. I mean, if he becomes available. Next thing you know, like, all the musical chairs have dropped and the Leafs and Campbell are still there. I think you go back to it, right? I think it's quite clear the player enjoyed playing here. You know, for the most part, the team enjoyed having him. So I think what's happening now, it's like a game of chicken where it's like Campbell's camp is pretty set on testing the market and has a, you know, a dollar figure in mind that they're looking to get. But it's one thing to look to get. It's another to get that money, right? So to answer your question, you know, I think something around four the Leafs would be comfortable with, maybe even stretching to 4.5, because I think ultimately the last thing you want is to be that team without the dance partner at the end of the day, especially when you're a legit contender like the Maple Leafs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to sit there and have no goalie and then have it be Mrazek and the other guy.
Michael Hutchinson, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going in with Mrazek and Chalgren or Mrazek, and let's say you do get one of those veteran goalies, like Jaro Halak, I guess, is going to be on the market.
Bryce,
maybe you end up with a Mrazek Halak, but I don't feel comfortable with that going into the playoffs. So for the sake of, like, $500,000, maybe you do kind of cave in and you bring back Jack Campbell, because at least, you know, the devil you do is better than the devil you don't, in a sense. It's so weird what's going on with him, but we haven't had a chance to catch up since the season ended. So before I let you go, you know, what did you make of the way that the year ended and how you think this team should go, what direction this team should go in this summer and moving forward?
Yeah, so as you guys know, I did cover the Maple Leafs the past two seasons, ending back last October. To me, it was the same old script. Like, I hate to call it a choke job, but it was a choke job. And I couldn't believe how many people let Toronto off the hook. And then what did they do? 2 days later, they rolled out and said, we're coming back. We're coming back with the same people, the same coach, the same GM. I was mystified. Like, you had the Tampa Bay Lightning on the ropes. You couldn't win game six. Then you come out in game seven. You get Vasilevskied. And it was like, it's okay. And then conversely, you look at a competitor who always gets your number in the postseason in Boston. They demand greatness. They didn't get it. They fired their head coach. There's a lot of teams with, comparables around the league to that. I think until they set a precedence in this market where it's not okay to lose, I think there's a major issue, because every year it's always something in this market, right? This year, oh, it's Tampa. Last series, you ran into a hot goalie. The year before, you ran into a hot Columbus team. Like, they've lost every team now at this point in the Stanley Cup playoffs. At which point, Mike, do you look in the mirror and say, hey, there's something wrong with us? That's my question. So I thought they let this team off the hook, considering that they were close again and just couldn't get the job done. They're just missing. They're missing that oomph. Like, if you watch Tampa play, you know what that means, you know?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's just, it's battle-tested hockey where everybody's putting their body on the line no matter what. I mean, I played over my head time and time again, Kerfoot flamingoing it, not really blocking a shot and having the puck go into the goal. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm watching Steven Stamkos out here, who's a superstar in his own right, putting his body on the line, diving across like this dude, guy's Gianluigi Buffon out here trying to make stops out on the ice. Like, that's the difference, a big difference between, what Tampa was able to do, and because they know what needs to be done to win a championship. Toronto, still learning, apparently. Still learning, so they say. Speaking of Tampa Bay, might as well get, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight. So we might as well get your thoughts on how you think that's going to play out. You got Tampa Bay rolling into Colorado. The Colorado Avalanche, a little bit rusty, potentially. They haven't played in 9 games, Nick. But I was having a conversation with Matt Calvert today on Leafs Lunch, and I was having a discussion about potentially the altitude being an equalizer with the Tampa having to go in, and could that potentially fatigue them in the first little bit of that first game to kind of equal out the rest versus rust type of situation? What do you think about that theory? And overall, how do you think the series is going to go?
Yeah, quite honestly, I think I prefer Colorado, and the fact that you mentioned it, they've been off 9 days and they've played 14 games, as opposed to, like, I know Tampa's been battle tested. They've had some pretty good opponents so far, with, not including the Florida Panthers, who they swept in the second round, but certainly a good fight against the New York Rangers, a good fight against Toronto Maple Leafs in 7 games in round one. I think it's a fascinating series. And quite frankly, as I said on social, like, it's for me, it's the most anticipated Stanley Cup final in recent memory. Like, I can't remember one where I was as excited for. Like, normally this time of year, guys, I'm just ready to pack it in, wait for the off season, the hoopla from the draft and free agency. But I'm actually looking forward to watching this series, because I do think going into the year, it's the two best teams in the NHL. And lo and behold, they're meeting in the Stanley Cup final. On one side, you have a team in Tampa. They've won back-to-back Stanley Cups. It always seems like their finish held. They were down 2-0 against the Rangers, then 2-0 in game three, battle all the way back, because that's just what they do. And they have a goaltender already, in my opinion, on Mount Rushmore of top goalies of all time in the NHL, and Andrei Vasilevsky, who, you talk about equalizers, you pin him against Colorado, who I think there's a lot of question marks with Darcy Kemper, who hasn't played a game in 2 weeks, or is it Pavel Francouz? Personally, it's Kemper. You gave up pretty penny, for Arizona in that trade last offseason to make that. I think you go with Kemper in game one, but it really, really is an exciting contrast. And I pick Colorado going into the year, so I'm going to stick with the Avalanche. But this has been a damn impressive run for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It seems like everybody likes to count this team out, and they continue to win and win and win, boys.
I'm shocked that they're the such big underdogs in the betting market. Like, I think they were plus 155 last I saw underdogs to start. I'm shocked, absolutely shocked that, you can get that type of value on the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs who look like they're well on a way to a three-peat. There's a saying that we have on Gameplay with Matt Cause: if you ever get Vasilevsky and Tampa Bay at plus money, you take them. So that's usually a pretty good bet Dave and I, we're going to give our picks in just a moment here, but really want to appreciate Nick for taking the time to join us. Where can the good folks, you know, get all your content and listen to you? What are you doing these days?
Yeah, so I'm doing daily prop pieces for sportsnet.ca. I'll have one up coming up in mere moments here once you listen to this. Outlining some prop bets to look at in game one of the Stanley Cup final. I think one I will be giving is Andre Vasilevsky over 32.5 saves. I think it's quite clear Colorado's game plan, especially on home ice, and they've done this time and time again. You got to pelt the opposition, especially, again, when it's Vasilevsky. And then on top of that, I continue to co-host the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast alongside Pete Jensen under the NHL umbrella. So make sure to check that out wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Go check it out. Nick's a beauty, absolute beautician. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us today, pal. We'll have to do it again real soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sport developments, news, odds, including this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, MLB, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. Got Dave Morosutti with me. I'd like to thank Nick Alberga for joining us just a moment ago. Some fantastic stuff there. Something intriguing that he actually mentioned about. So there was a report the other day about Matt Murray and the Maple Leafs. And then I saw The Athletic wrote an article about Matt Murray. Trading for Matt Murray makes absolutely zero sense. If he gets bought out, though, would you be intrigued on like a
prove it deal?
Yeah, like a prove it 1 year, $1.5 million type of deal. Like that kind of would intrigue me slightly.
I personally think so, right? You know, like I think that I didn't understand the move for Ottawa in the first place to get a Matt Murray. They were not a good enough team to go out and shell out all that money for a starting goaltender. Pittsburgh,
you never worth that much money. Like that was the second he signed, I was like, he's not gonna live up to that contract because he already had health issues when he was in Pittsburgh.
Exactly, right? Health issues. He needed Marc-Andre Fleury to get him to the playoffs, and then playoffs comes, and that's where Matt Murray shines. If you're a Leafs fan, you're just like, why would you want Matt Murray? Just look at the guy's playoff numbers. He is a proven playoff performer. But the problem is, you need another goalie to be with him. So that's where, if you're looking to, you know, get rid of Peter Mrazek, he would be my ideal replacement for him. If you did like a Matt Murray, Jack Campbell tandem, maybe injuries would be the only concern I have about that.
Right.
But Matt Murray on a prove it deal, you can't. There's not going to be many other goaltenders I think I would choose over Matt Murray in a situation like that if that's what he ends up doing, which I don't think many teams are going to be lining up to give Matt Murray a big contract.
Yeah. One of the goaltender that's kind of, I don't know how invested I am into this take, but a goalie that interests me slightly is Linus Ullmark out in Boston as a guy potentially, like if that team is going in a different direction. You know, he's got 3 years left on that deal, $5 million per, which is a little bit – that's a little bit of money. But I think he's a good goaltender. Like, I thought they should have been in the running for him last year over Peter Mrazek. But ultimately, you know, Mrazek came at a much cheaper rate, so they ended up going there. But at least I know Ullmark will play. So
now, the problem with Ullmark, I will say, is he has a no-movement clause.
He does.
But if Boston's going in a direction where they're not, like he went to Boston to go win. He left Buffalo to get away. I'll just say this about Linus Ullmark and I'll about this too. He had decent numbers for goaltender playing for the Buffalo Sabres. I don't think people need to realize how difficult that actually is.
Yes.
He put up better numbers than Peter Mrazek, and he played for the Buffalo Sabres.
Unless you're Craig Anderson, who plays like Dominic Hasek.
Because
he's Craig Anderson, for whatever reason. 41 years old, looking like the all-star Craig Anderson, especially against the Maple Leafs. Speaking of Boston, though, They recently fired Bruce Cassidy. Bruce Cassidy has a new home already. Not even on the market for 10 days. I think it was like 8 days later, this man finds himself a home. The Vegas Golden Knights found themselves a new head coach and a pretty good one in Bruce Cassidy. You like the fit? I think this makes a lot of sense. Like if I remember on Leafs Lunch, we did like a vibe check. Like we kind of played a little connect the dots, which coaches out there would make sense with teams. And I think I said Bruce Cassidy to Vegas just makes a lot of sense.
It does, right? And I was thinking, like, I was looking at, like, teams that would go after Bruce Cassidy. It has to be a team that's trying to win now, right? Bruce Cassidy didn't, you know, he took a Bruins team that was in a win-now approach, and he kept them in that win-now approach. Vegas needs to get back to that.
Yeah.
And I think Bruce Cassidy is a damn fine coach. I think he's going to look at this roster, and he's going to say, I've got some good players here. He's got goaltending. He's got – it's just a really good roster for him to go to. And my – I just – I don't know why any other teams didn't try to beat out Vegas for him. I thought there was – like the only other coach on the market I would have taken over Bruce Cassidy was Barry Trotz. Right. Like that's how much I think of Bruce Cassidy. That's why I thought Boston firing him was like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like he did the – go ahead.
What do you think's the like when you look what's the next most attractive coaching vacancy out there? Because to me, Vegas was definitely number one. Like in terms of a team that's ready to compete, that's a team that's got a pretty good squad. They got good ownership who's willing to put money into their team and willing to do quite literally whatever it takes to have a winning franchise. And just great squad all around and a good city, good vibes. I mean, you're in Vegas, Sin City, for Pete's sake. So they were the number one, I think, in terms of attractiveness. But now what's the new number one? There's still five vacancies out there. And only like 3 weeks till the draft, which is crazy that there's still so many people. I think it's all pretty much hung up on, you know, Barry Trotz of where he's going to go. I think teams are starting to think, okay, we got to move on to our second option before that guy gets gobbled up or that guy goes somewhere. And I don't know what's going to happen with Barry Trotz. I still think Winnipeg to me is kind of a no-brainer. They're also offering him free beer for life at a local Winnipeg brewery.
Yeah,
that'd be a sell job. That's a pretty good sell for me. So I would definitely
can I put my name in
there? Yeah, really. I mean, if that's what they're offering for any coach, that's got to be the sexiest one. But in terms of the other teams, like you got Winnipeg, Detroit, Dallas, Philly, and
Chicago.
No, they have an interim. So their thing is still an interim.
Right. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, but Boston is the other one. Boston Bruins. Recently have a new one.
Right.
Which to you is like the most attractive job if you were a free agent coach looking to latch on with a team?
I kind of want to throw my ring into the Detroit Red Wings. I think that's an emerging roster. That's an easier thing for a coach to go into, right? Because there's a lot of potential you can get out of that roster. While some other teams, it's almost like how much more can you get out of the Winnipeg Jets if you're a coach there, right? Or even Boston. There's so much uncertainty about the Bruins with Bergeron, Pastrnak apparently wants out. Like that's a tough situation for a new coach to go into. So I think Detroit would be my number one. Dallas is intriguing, too, because they're kind of – they got good core pieces. They got a good goaltender there. But I still think
they got those anchors that are aging. Like, that Sagan contract is tough, man, tough at $9 million. Jamie Benn also is making that money, and both of those guys aren't producing anywhere near to the – to the extent that they were earlier in their career where they earned those contracts. And those are just tough, tough contracts to work with. I don't know if it's gonna, how much it's going to hinder this team, but I mean, combined that's $18 million that you can't put towards more productive pieces, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that's true. I just think you look, that team still managed to get to the playoffs. They also were a cup finalist a few years ago. So like there's something there with that roster. But yeah, that's why I still think I still think the Detroit one is the most intriguing one because it's not a complete clean slate, but they just need a goaltender. They're a team that you can grow with.
I think. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I was just offering some alternatives here, but I'm with you on Detroit. I think that's a young, talented squad. You got Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond. You have a couple of core pieces and Dylan Larkin that's already there and some other good pieces. We'll see what ends up happening with Tyler Bertuzzi. You know, you traded for Jacob Verana a couple of years ago. You've got Sebastian Cosa, who's on his way to the Mem Cup, a talented young goaltender who they hope can turn into a number one for them in the future. Mm-hmm. And you saw what Stevie Y built in Tampa. He's doing some similar building here in Detroit. You want to get in on it pretty early in the way that John Cooper did? I think we might be able to reap the benefits a couple of years down the road. So I think Detroit would also be that squad. Now, from a Maple Leafs perspective, hopefully that the Iza plan crashes and burns, clearly, because that would hinder the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. But speaking from a non-biased position, I think the Red Wings probably a pretty attractive spot for any of these free agent coaches that are remaining. All right. The time is now, David. We must get into our predictions for the Stanley Cup Final. But before we get into that, David, before we get into it, we got to give away a third clue in the name that Leaf. Got to give away the third clue. Name that Leaf. So we gave away the first two clues already. Gave the first one on Monday, the second one in yesterday's show. If you missed them, got to go back and listen. But today's clue in the Name That Leaf trivia question, there is a player that we are thinking of, and these clues will hopefully allow you to come up with the guy who we are thinking about. And the third clue is this player, this former Maple Leaf, represented Canada at the World Championships. This player represented Canada at the World Championship. So there is your Wednesday clue, your third clue of the week. There's still two more to come in the next couple of days, so make sure that you are coming back for each podcast this week to get those clues, to give you every opportunity to guess the player that we're thinking of and get yourself an Austin Matthews jersey. All right, Dave, let's get to it. Stanley Cup Final tonight. We're both jacked up about it. It's going to be a great, great series. Who you liking? How many games? Give me a Conn Smythe pick as well.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to go with the Avs. I think the Avalanche have been they've just been a different team in terms of they can adjust to different styles. There is some similarities between them and Tampa. Obviously, the goaltending isn't there. I mean, that's what a lot of people are going to give Tampa the edge in this series. But
a lot of people or everyone?
I think everybody but Colorado Avalanche fans.
Everyone except for maybe Kemper and Pavel Francouz's mother. Everybody else in the world will be
on that field. Right. I think when you look at the Conn Smythe, so I'm going to go with the Avalanche. I'm going to go with them in five because I think if you go past five games, you're not beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, you have to end the series early. I just think that they got the home ice advantage. That's, you know, I think the Rangers proved that they messed up a little bit in terms of they won the first two games at home and they had chances to take advantage of that home ice advantage. I think Colorado understands that and they'll use that to their advantage. And I'm going to go with Cale Makar as my Conn Smythe trophy pick.
Cale Makar, I like it. I think if Colorado wins it, Cale Makar is a solid bet to win the Conn Smythe. He's had an incredible playoff so far, and I think he'll have an incredible Stanley Cup final as well. I am so 50-50 on this, it's not even funny, but I'm starting to lean 1% one way, and it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think I'm ready to go with the Lightning. I believe they'll get it done in six games, though. I hope it's a seven gamer, but I think they do it in six, and they kind of alternate wins with Tampa starting with a win tonight in game one, and they alternate going forward, and then Tampa's just going to win it in game six and end it there. Just because I think they're going to go home and try and end it at home in Tampa for game six. So that's going to be my prediction. I just ultimately comes down to goaltending. Andre Vasilevsky's in a groove right now. That guy's unbeatable. When the chips are down, it's impossible to beat him. Nobody's been able to beat him in four games in a seven-game set in over 3 years. So I know the Colorado Avalanche are the best team that they've played over the course of this stretch, but ultimately I think that this is Tampa's turn to three-peat, put their mark as the greatest dynasty of the cap era potentially ever. They're definitely in the conversation of the 80s Islanders and the Oilers and the 70s Canadians and those guys if they can get that third straight cup. But another reason why I like Tampa Bay, sounds like Brayden Point is trending toward playing tonight. And if it's not tonight, surely sounds like he'll be ready to go for game two. Nazem Kadri does not sound as likely that he is going to play right now. It's still an unlikely for him to play, but could if it gets later on in a series, of course. But because of that, I think that that's going to be a big miss for the Colorado Avalanche going up against a pretty deep and talented Tampa team. And you add a Brayden Point to this roster, someone who's been a lightning rod in the playoffs for that team, I think that they're going to really get a boost from him. I like Tampa Bay in six. That is my official prediction. So we're going against each other on this one, Dave. We might have to have a friendly wager involved. Pitcher of beer. Pitcher of beer. Winner sure. Buys a pitcher of beer. That's got to be it.
I was even going to say we're Italians. We can go a bottle of wine. Buy you a wine drinker.
A bottle of vino, potentially. Potentially could do a bottle of vino. We'll talk about it off air.
I got a good collection of vino. Like it's not... You would be happy to win this bet.
What about some limoncello?
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say Sambuca for a second there. The limoncello is not bad either. Whatever works. I think a nice little
friendly wager for the show, since we both are on opposite ends here. So we'll see what happens there. But we'll leave it here. It was a fun show. Thanks again to Nick Alperga. Go follow him on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy. Does fantastic work all around. Dave, fun stuff today. That's gonna end it for today on the show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening and supporting the podcast. You could subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcast platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morisuti. And also go ahead, like this video if you could. That'd be greatly appreciated. Helps us with the numbers and the algorithms and all that on YouTube. If you could leave a comment down below as well. Let us know your thoughts on the Stanley Cup final, your predictions, who's going to win, how many games. Oh, I didn't give you a Conn Smythe pick like you gave
me. No, you did not.
Andre Vasilevsky.
I think it was already kind of implied, though. No other player on Tampa is winning that Conn Smythe.
You know what? Steven Stamkos has been a pretty vital part of that team so far through this run. I wouldn't count him out, but Vasilevsky to me is the front runner, and you can get him at like 4-1 odds. It's not bad. Go to Bet Online. Make that wager. I think it's worth it. You think that Tampa Bay is going to come out victorious. But yeah, go ahead and leave that comment down below who you think is going to win and your thoughts on the Stanley Cup final as a whole or anything else we talked about. You want to ask us a question, clarify something we discussed today, go ahead, write down the chat box. It's your chance. We read all the comments all the times, even the mean ones, which, Dave, you got to stay off the weed, my guy.
As I was wondering if they were going with that reference, but I said no. But
one of our commenters told you, pulled a little Stephen A. Smith and told you to lay off the weed with your trade proposals, which I thought was hilarious. So sure, just, you know, we do read the comments. We do read the comments.
Oh, we read them. We read
do.
Them.
All right. We'll be back with our episode tomorrow, guys. The 4th. Of 5 clues in the Austin Matthews Leafs jersey giveaway coming tomorrow. And we will break down game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs and whatever else news comes about in the world of hockey. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.